In the 12th century, a new era began in the history of Norway. The transition to feudalism here was quite different from the rest of Europe. Local nobles had received titles and lands even before the emergence of the kingdom. They were not granted by the king. Therefore, the monarch's power over them was much weaker. Each noble family had its own strength and ambitions. The peasants here were quite independent from the feudal lords, at a time when, in most European countries, they were bound to the lands of a feudal lord, in Norway there existed a large stratum of free landowners, the bondi. They owned land, could raise their own militia, and dictate terms to rulers. It was from these free people that the most capable Norwegian troops later arose. In such conditions, the power of the Norwegian kings rested almost exclusively on their authority. The kingdom went through an era of civil wars and did not fall apart only thanks to the skill and cunning of its rulers. By 1103, King Magnus III of Norway had set out on another expedition to the British Isles, this time targeting Ireland. Upon landing in Dublin, the Norwegian king prepared to conquer the island, forming an alliance with one of the Irish kings, Muirhertach Ua Brian. Though the ally proved unreliable. According to the sagas, he promised to supply the Norwegians with provisions, but failed to do so. Facing the threat of starvation, Magnus conducted a raiding campaign in Ulster, where he fell into an ambush and was killed. The Norwegians returned home empty-handed, led by Sigurd Magnusson. Magnus III had no legitimate sons, but left three illegitimate children, Øystein, Sigurd, and Olaf. They ruled Norway jointly. Under local laws, later known as the Laws of St. Olaf, illegitimate children had the same inheritance rights as legitimate ones. In the 11th century, this helped maintain unity, but over time it caused problems. King Sigurd I became famous for the Norwegian Crusade. In 1107, he gathered 6,000 warriors and set out south by ship. After wintering in England and recruiting volunteers, Sigurd moved to the Iberian Peninsula, plundering the Muslim-controlled cities of Sintra, Lisbon, and Alcacer. Crossing the Straits of Gibraltar, the Norwegians clashed with Berber pirates, who controlled the waters. Over the course of a year, Sigurd pursued their fleet, destroying pirate bases along the coast. Ultimately, the Norwegians defeated the largest pirate band on the island of Formentera, temporarily freeing the region from attacks. After wintering in Sicily, they traveled to Acre, where King Baldwin I of Jerusalem welcomed them. Baldwin was planning to capture Sidon, then under Muslim control, and the Norwegians' arrival aided his campaign. While crusaders attacked by land, the Norwegians struck by sea, jointly capturing the city. In gratitude, Baldwin presented Sigurd with several holy relics. On the way home, he stopped in Constantinople, where part of his forces joined the Byzantine emperor's service, while Sigurd returned overland to Norway. At home, he earned the nickname Jorsulfara, the one who traveled to Jerusalem, which became a term for Norwegians participating in the Crusades. King Øystein I, by contrast, was much less aggressive and preferred diplomacy over war. He focused on building towns, churches, and monasteries, and promoted trade. He was called Riksbjuger, the builder of the country, and the Icelandic skald Snorri Sturluson debated which was more beneficial for Norway, Sigurd's campaigns or Øystein's construction projects. King Olaf Magnusson, frail from childhood, died young at 16, and was later excluded from official king lists by modern historians. Thus, his name was gained by another king of the 14th century. In 1123, Øystein I also died, leaving Sigurd Jorsulfara as sole ruler. He died in 1130, and the crown passed to his son Magnus IV Sigurdsson. The old law granting inheritance rights to illegitimate children, which had once preserved the unity of the country, now sowed discord. Beginning in 1130, a new way to obtain the crown appeared in Norway. Anyone could claim to be the illegitimate son of a previous king and put forward his claim. Thus, many pretenders arose. And so began the Civil War era, more than a century of internal strife and conspiracies. Determining the true lineage of claimants was nearly impossible. In medieval times, legitimacy was tested by trial, often involving red-hot iron. If the burns healed cleanly, it was seen as divine approval. Certainly, this is not the argument for the modern historians who still debate who was genuine and who was an imposter. The stories repeated themselves. From remote farms or islands, another young man would appear, claiming to be the king's illegitimate son. He would gather an army from the petty nobility who sought power, and a war would begin. It lasted until one of the contenders was killed. A few years later, it all started again, with a new supposed son and a new war. The first pretender was Harald Gilla. Around 1130, he claimed to be the illegitimate son of King Magnus III. At first, King Magnus IV paid no attention to Harald, but in 1134, he tried to expel him from Norway. He failed. The following year, Harald's forces captured Magnus, mutilated him, and he was thereafter nicknamed Magnus the Blind. Harald IV was then proclaimed the new king. Another pretender, Sigurd Slembe, who claimed to be a son of King Magnus III, rose against Harald. In 1136, he ambushed Harald in the house of the king's mistress and killed him. Opposing Sigurd Slembe, Harald's supporters proclaimed as kings his young sons, the legitimate Inga the Hunchback and the illegitimate Sigurd Munn. Sigurd Slembe did not have enough support. Seeking allies, he freed Magnus IV and made an agreement with the Danes. Thus, Sigurd gained additional troops. Despite this, he was defeated by Harald's sons in the Battle of Holmengrå. In this battle, Magnus IV was killed, while Sigurd Slembe was captured and tortured to death. In 1142, another pretender appeared in Norway, Øystein Haraldsson. He declared himself the illegitimate son of Harald Gilla. To avoid war, Harald's sons recognized him as their brother and king. Even so, intrigues and a struggle for power soon broke out among them. Inga the Hunchback, having secured the support of the influential Jarl Erling Skakke, killed Sigurd Munn in 1152. A few years later, he likewise put Øystein Haraldsson to death. Supporters of Sigurd Munn and Øystein Haraldsson opposed King Inga I, led by Håkon Herdebre, claiming to be Sigurd Munn's illegitimate son. Håkon seized northern Norway and became king. Inga sent Erling Skakke against him, but the forces suffered heavy losses in small fights. In 1162, Håkon II marched south. Inga confronted him at the Battle of Oslo, where he was killed. Jarl Erling Skakke did not recognize Håkon II and supported his own son Magnus, grandson of Sigurd Jorsalfara, through his mother. With Danish support, Erling defeated Håkon II at the Battle of Sekken, where the king was killed. Magnus Erlingsson became Magnus V, but real power remained with Jarl Erling as regent. Soon, a new pretender appeared in Norway, Sigurd Marcus Fostre, who claimed to be the son of Sigurd Munn. He began gathering troops, but they were soon defeated by Erling Skakke in the Battle of Rey. Sigurd was forced to hide in the outskirts of Norway. In the autumn of that same year, he was captured by Erling Skakke's men and executed. In 1166, the Jarl from Uppland, Sigurd Agnat, rose against Erling Skakke's rule. He declared his stepson, Olav Ujeva, king, who through his mother was a grandson of Øystein II. The rebellion was supported in Viken. When Erling went to suppress it, he barely escaped an ambush. Because Olaf failed to kill the Jarl, he was nicknamed Olaf the Unlucky. 2 years later, Erling Skakke took his revenge by defeating Olaf in the Battle of Stanger. 6 years later, another pretender, Øystein Mæle, claimed to be the son of King Øystein II. His supporters were called the Birkebeiner, birch legs, implying that they were poor and wore shoes made of birch bark. Although, most likely, the story about the shoes is just a legend. These were people from the poorest strata of society who fled to the outskirts of the kingdom, formed bands, and survived through robbery and mercenary work. In 1176, Øystein Mæle captured Trondheim and declared himself King Øystein III. The following year, he was defeated by royal forces in the Second Battle of Rey. Later, he was killed by local peasants while hiding. After this, the Birkebeiner declared the pretender Sverre Sigurdsson as their new king, who had recently arrived from the Faroe Islands. He proved to be a skilled military leader and took control of eastern Norway. When the young Magnus V, seeking to break free from his father's influence, led the army himself, Sverre lured him into an ambush at Hurdebrobridge and defeated him. The king escaped, and Sverre proclaimed himself king. A year later, Erling Skakke tried to bring Trondheim back under his control, but he was ambushed again and killed. Learning of his father's death, Magnus V fled to Denmark. Gaining support there, he returned to Norway and continued fighting against Sverre. In 1184, the war ended when Magnus V was killed in the Battle of Fimreite. The reign of Sverre I was marked by relative stability amid civil wars. Modern historians consider him and his descendants a separate dynasty, the House of Sverre, although at the time they were considered part of the ancient, semi-mythical Yngling dynasty. Sverre is remembered for two deeds. First, he confiscated lands from his opponents and distributed them to his warriors, turning the Birkebeiner into an elite royal army that continued to play a key role. Second, he was in constant conflict with the church. The dispute with the clergy became his greatest problem. The Pope excommunicated him. Around the bishops, armies of supporters began to form. Opponents called them baglers, from the Norwegian name for a bishop's staff, hinting at their service to the clergy. The baglers promoted their pretenders to the throne, Jan Kuvlung, Sigurd, and Inga Magnusson. But Sverre defeated them all. Before his death, the king advised his son Håkon III to reconcile with the church. In 1204, the childless Håkon III died, and war broke out again. The Baglers put forward a new pretender, Erling Steinvæg, who claimed to be Magnus V's son. After his death, they declared a successor, Philip Simonsson, a distant relative of the first pretender king, Harald Gilla. At the same time, the Birkebeiner chose Inga II Borson, nephew of King Sverre, as their king. By 1208, the war had exhausted both sides, so they agreed to a truce, dividing the kingdom. Even so, both continued to build up forces for the renewal of war. Unexpectedly, both kings died in 1217. Then the Birkebeiner elected the young Håkon Håkonsson, believed to be the illegitimate son of Håkon III. Until he reached adulthood, the country was effectively ruled by the influential Jarl Skule Borson. The Baglers split. Some recognized Håkon's authority, others supported the pretender Sigurd Ribbung, said to be the illegitimate son of Erling Steinvæg. In reality, real power rested with Jarl Gudolf of Blakstad, so the war continued. This time, small skirmishes and raids dominated instead of major battles. By 1225, Jarl Skule inflicted several defeats on the Ribbung forces and recaptured Oslo. Sigurd Ribbung continued guerrilla warfare until 1226, when he was killed on a farm near Oslo in a clash with local peasants. That same year, the last Ribbung forces were defeated in two battles. The civil wars exhausted Norway. To end them, in 1223, the nobility in Bergen officially recognized Håkon Håkonsson as King Håkon IV. As an adult, Håkon IV gradually began to assert independence from Jarl Skule, whose power had grown considerably. He married his daughter to a king and controlled a third of the country. Håkon used intrigue to limit Skule's influence. In 1237, he gave Jarl Skule the title of the first duke in Norway, while depriving him of much of his land. Realizing the imminent loss of power, in 1239, Skule raised a rebellion and declared himself king. Nonetheless, he did not gain sufficient support. The following year, Skule marched south and captured Oslo. But his end came swiftly. King Håkon arrived with his forces and defeated the rebellious duke. Skule fled north and hid in a monastery until captured by royal troops, who killed him along with his family. The death of Duke Skule Borgson is traditionally marked as the end of the Norwegian civil wars. This was one of the bloodiest periods in the kingdom's history. Despite internal conflicts, the kingdom survived. King Håkon IV continued to rule, strengthened his throne, and became remembered as one of Norway's most successful rulers. Among his achievements was the incorporation of Iceland and Greenland into Norway. Both islands had been settled since the Viking Age and long followed their own customs. Due to a lack of fertile land, the inhabitants relied on trade with Norway and were economically dependent on it. During Håkon IV's reign, they increasingly adhered to his decrees. In Iceland, this even sparked a war between clans. Some favored alliance with Norway, others opposed it. By 1261, Greenlanders pledged allegiance to the Norwegian king, followed by the Icelanders in 1262. The king also paid attention to the British Isles. At the time, powerful Alexander III ruled Scotland. He claimed the Kingdom of the Isles, and in 1262 began its conquest. In response, the following year, Håkon IV marched with an army. Norwegian and Scottish forces met at the Battle of Largs, but neither side gained a decisive victory. The war reached a stalemate. The Norwegians lacked the strength for a large-scale landing in Scotland, while the Scots had no fleet to expel them. Both sides began seeking allies. Håkon turned to the Irish, Alexander III to the English. In winter 1263, King Håkon IV unexpectedly died. His son Magnus VI, who had already been ruling in his father's absence, became king. Magnus made peace with the Scots and sold them the islands for 4,000 silver marks. He actively strengthened the kingdom's economy, signing trade agreements with almost all neighboring states. He carried out a currency reform, replacing old and counterfeit coins with new ones. Most notably, he reformed the legal system. For the first time in the country's history, all Norwegians received a unified legal code. For this, he was called Lagabøte, meaning lawmender. Magnus's two sons became kings. After his death, the throne passed to the elder son, Erik II. His reign was remembered for an unsuccessful conflict with the Hanseatic League, the trade confederation of North German cities. In 1285, he captured several Hanseatic ships. In response, merchants blocked all Norwegian ports, halting trade and damaging the kingdom's economy. Erik had to make peace, granting additional privileges to the Hanseatics and paying them substantial compensation. Håkon V Magnusson finally moved the capital to Oslo. He focused on northern territories, accepting the vassal oath of northern peoples. To secure their loyalty, the Norwegian king imposed taxes 3 times lower than in Norway proper. He supported the Christianization of these peoples and the founding of the first Norwegian settlements. In 1307, the first mention of Vardøhus Fortress appeared, a future tax collection center in these northern lands. Norwegian possessions extended as far as the Kola Peninsula. Håkon V had no sons, so after his death, the throne passed to his grandson, Swedish King Magnus Eriksson, who was only 3 years old. This was the first Norway-Sweden personal union, 2 separate states under 1 monarch. Magnus Eriksson lived in Sweden and was not a popular ruler there. He managed to annex the province of Scania to his domains. The expansion of territory came at the cost of high taxes. These taxes sparked a rebellion in Sweden. Financial issues were generally the main problem of his reign, which is why the Swedes repeatedly rose in revolt against him. In Norway, where Håkon VI Magnusson ruled on behalf of the king, there were no such problems. In 1355, he received the Norwegian crown. The following year, his elder brother Erik Magnusson seized power in Sweden. In 1359, with Håkon V's support, their father Magnus Eriksson regained the throne, but continued to rule poorly, losing parts of Sweden. In 1363, the Swedes rebelled, imprisoned him, and invited Duke Albert of Mecklenburg to the throne. Håkon VI responded with war, supporting his father's Swedish supporters. In 1371, he led a military campaign to Stockholm, and, after paying a significant ransom, freed his father. Another victory for Håkon VI was marrying Danish Princess Margaret. Her father had no sons, making their grandson heir. Through Margaret's diplomacy and intrigue, their son, Olaf Håkonsson, became King Olaf II of Denmark. Eventually, Olaf inherited both the Danish and Norwegian crowns, marking the first step toward uniting the Scandinavian kingdoms and the later emergence of the Kalmar Union.